Just like to say good morning to those that haven't spoken to this morning. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto Him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. We thank God for His mercy and His grace that has allowed each and every one of us to assemble here this morning on the Lord's day. And we know that it's not because that we were so safe or we were so good that we're here. If that were the case, neither one of us would be here this morning. But it's through God's mercy and His grace that we're here. So we thank Him. Have a lesson coming from the old book of Lamentation. And we will study a few verses out of chapter 2 of the old book of Lamentation. But in the book of Lamentation, chapter 1, the city of Jerusalem, where God's people were, is personified as a widow in the book of Lamentation, chapter 1, of a widow that has lost her children, and all of her friends have deserted her, and she's without comfort. In the old book of Lamentation. In the book of Lamentation, chapter 2, the scripture called for God's people to repent if they ever expected mercy from God. In the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, is personified as a man that's going through deep despair, but at the same time is crying out for mercy from God. And we want to look at this book this morning, in the book of Old Lamentation, chapter 2. And we have a couple of verses here I like to use as my scripture reading. Book of Lamentation, chapter 2, in verse 11 and 12. Notice what Jeremiah has to say in these passages of scriptures. He said, "Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, 'Where is the corn and wine?' When they swoon, as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom." Brothers, sisters, and friends, Jeremiah speaks of the trouble that came upon the people of God when they disobeyed God. And in these passages of scriptures here, we look at the sad day that was in Jerusalem. It was the day of sadness. And that's what these passages of scripture speaks to. And why are we going back looking at the old days? Because these scriptures were written for our learning, for us today, that we can look back and see what happened to the people of God when they disobeyed God, that we don't make the same mistakes, that we might have the hope and the comfort of our Savior. And before that, we go any further into these scriptures this morning, we count this a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again by the one who has been selected to lead us in prayer. I'd like to give us a little history of these books of Lamentation before that we look at the subject. The purpose of the writing of the book of Lamentation to teach people that to disobey God is to invite disaster. And to show that God suffers when his people suffer. The author of this book is Jeremiah. The date written, soon after the fall of Jerusalem, in the year 586 BC. The setting in this book, Jerusalem had been destroyed by Babylon, and her people were killed, tortured, and taken into captivity. Jeremiah teaches us that regardless what we are going through in life, regardless how bad the circumstances may be, still cry out to God, because there's hope. God can change things. And we find that in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, and verse 22, where it says that if it were not for the grace or the mercies of God, that we would all be consumed. It said, because his compassions fail not. So they are new every morning. You think about this. Every morning when we open our eyes, the great God of heaven has already rained down blessings upon us. Some of that we're even not aware of. Isn't God good? He's good all the time, and all the time he's good. And that's not a slogan. But I just want to go back to just a brief history of this book. I want to look at verse chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12 and read those passages of Scripture again. Just want us to notice something in those passages of Scriptures. Jeremiah says, "Mine eyes do fail with tears." He said, "My bowels." And this word bowels is interior, which means interior. It could mean intestines or emotion, pity, or feelings. Depends on how we use it, the text that we're using the word bowels in. He said, "Our trouble." He said, "My liver," another word for organ. He said, "is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people." He said, "because the children and the sucklings," that word suckling is unweaned child. He said, "swoon," another word for swoon is faint, "in the streets of the city." And the Bible tells us that verse 12 said, "they say to their mothers," this is the children, "where is the corn?" That word corn is food. Where is the food? Where is the wine? And this is not intoxicating wine, but wine back in that day was used for nutrition. They asked him, "where is the food? Where is the wine?" And the Bible says, "when they swoon, when they faint, as a wounded in the street of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's womb." Bosom. Now, this lesson teaches us of this great day that happened in Jerusalem. It was a sad day. It was an awful day for the people of God. And you know, the people of God in that day, they had disobeyed God. And the prophets were sent to Jerusalem to warn the people of this day that was coming. And they refused to listen. They killed the prophets. They came there. And so the judgment was upon Jerusalem, God's people. And you know what happened in that day when it did come? They cried out to God for mercy. But in that day, the judgment was already upon them for their sins. And you had people that were killed, little babies in the street dying in the mother's bosom. The Almighty God had brought judgment upon the city of Jerusalem. And the people couldn't understand why they were being punished by people that were more evil than them, the Babylonians. But God used a nation of people to correct his people that was more evil and corrupt than his own people. I remember brothers was telling me when I first obeyed the gospel, I was a baby in Christ. He said, you know, he said, Brother Nelson, he said, you ever heard that God works in mysterious ways? I said, yeah, I've heard that before. He said, let me tell you something. He said, when you get to know God, you'll find out that God not only works in mysterious ways, but he works in many ways. And you know that's true. God used the evil nation to correct his people. But Jeremiah teaches us that all of God's people weren't killed. Some were taken into captivity. And they were preserved there in captivity. But God can call things to change with us. That's why we have to keep crying out to God in all of our circumstances. Regardless of what we are going through in this life, whatever it is, God is above all of it. His grace is above all those things that we're going through. I remember one Lord's Day when Sister Sandy came in. And she was sitting back there, had been working all night long, fighting sleep. And after worship service, I said, Sister Sandy, I said, you know, God can bring this to pass. She said, I'll be glad when it passes. But you know, God can change things. God can bring it to pass, whatever we're going through. In this book of Jeremiah teaches us something here. Jeremiah teaches us that the tears that he shedded was brokenhearted for the people of God. Listen to something about tears. Tears are defined simply as drops of salty fluid flowing from the eyes. They can be caused by irritation or laughter, but usually associated with weeping and sorrow and grief. And when we cry, our friends wonder what is wrong. And they try to console us. Babies cry for food. Children cry at the loss of a pet. Adults cry when confronted with trauma and death. Jeremiah's grief ran deep. He is known and remembered as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, two books, the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentation, focus on one event, the destruction of Jerusalem. And when we read and we study the book of Jeremiah, we read about the prediction of the disaster that was coming upon the children of God. And when we study and read the book of Lamentations, We look back on that destruction. That's what these two books is about. Known as the Book of Tears. Lamentation is also a song of mourning. A lot of Jewish people, they chant these passages of scriptures at funerals. When a person cries, it says a lot about that person. When a person cries, it's whether they are self-centered or God-centered. And what do I mean by that? What causes our tears when we cry? Do we weep because of our pride has been wounded? Or because around us, there are a lot of people that are living in sin. And we know the end of their life if they don't change. Do we weep and do we mourn for them? That should bring us to tears. Because, brothers, sisters, friends, why don't we mourn for them now if they're not going to change? Because when they die, it's too late. No amount of tears will reverse the process of death. We need to mourn for our friends and our loved ones that are living in sin. Do we weep because we have lost something of value? Our world is filled with injustice and poverty and war and rebellion against God, of which all should bring us to tears. And we should pray, just like the brother prayed for our leaders this morning. We should pray for them, because the Christian is the only one that God would hear that prayer. God doesn't tell us to go out and march when we see all this injustice is going on in this world. He tells us to do something totally different. You got people to do that. You got people to march and to protest. God tells us that the children, pray for them. That's our duty as children of God, is to pray when we see this injustice and all the things that are in this world that is going wrong. We are to pray. And when we study and read the book of Lamentation, we learn what it means to grieve with God. We study and learn these passages of scriptures. I want to look at a passage of scriptures in the book of Matthew, chapter 23. The book of Matthew, chapter 23. And we'll start at verse 37. And see what Jesus had to say about Jerusalem. The book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 37. Notice what Jesus says. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet and stonest them which are sent to thee. He said, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye say, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus mourned for the people in Jerusalem. He knew that they were looking for a physical king, and they didn't understand the warning that was given to them by the prophets. And even Jesus himself taught in that city. several times, and they rejected him. But he knew the devastation that was coming to the people of God. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that they did come." I want to look at another passage of scripture here. I want to look in the book of Luke, chapter 19, and verse 41. Luke 19 and verse 41. It says, "And when he," speaking of Jesus, "when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. In the Greek, it teaches us that weeping carries the thought of more than just shedding tears. It's a mourning. It's a gushing out of tears. Your heart is broken. And so your whole soul is crying out when you're weeping." I never looked at that passage of scripture like that before. When you read the scripture in St. John chapter 11 and verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. I always thought that he just shed some tears. But Jesus' heart was broken. Tears gushed out, mourning, lamenting over his friend Lazarus and his family when Lazarus died. You know, Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he wept on the physical side of life when we lose someone. It was a gushing out of tears. It was mourning. His heart was broken. Just like it was in that day when he predicted that the disaster would come upon the people of God. I want to look at another passage of scripture. We find this in the book of Romans, chapter 9, and we look at verse 1 through 5, and we look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says that, he said, "I say the truth in Christ." He said, "I lied not." He said, "My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." Listen to what Paul says. He said, "that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." He said, "for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." This was the attitude of the Apostle Paul. Now, I love every one of you in here. I couldn't separate myself from Christ for you, that you might be saved. I'm not there. But this was the attitude of the Apostle Paul. He said, "if it availeth anything," he said, "I wish to be separated from Christ that my brethren and my kinsmen be saved." It was the attitude of the Apostle Paul. And I tell you something. The attitude just didn't come from Paul. Moses had the same attitude. Look at the book of Exodus, chapter 31, and verse 31 and 32. And notice what Moses had to say about this. And I'm just going to paraphrase it as we get into it. Moses says that when the children of God had made a golden calf to worship as their God, Moses went to God and said, "this people have sinned a great sin. They have made a calf, a golden calf for their God." And Moses asked God, he said, "I would that thou forgive them." He said, "but if not, blot me out of the book of life which thou hast written." That was Moses' attitude. He said, "blot me out of the book of life. He had that attitude toward the people of God. I'll tell you something else. The Apostle Paul, he says in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, is that, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. He says, I bear them record. They have a zeal of knowledge, but not according to God. They being ignorant of God, righteousness, have gone about and established their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Don't you know that trouble of the Apostle Paul? Is to know that his brethren and his sisters were still in sin. And Paul remembered. He remembered that he used to be the chief of sinners. He remembered that he knew that he had one time wasted the church. But God has shown him much grace and mercy. And he wanted the same thing for his brothers and his sisters, that they might be saved. You know, that's the attitude that each and every one of us should have. It's when it comes to our friends and our families, and even people we don't know, is trying to get to them to know that the state that they're in, if they stay there, what's going to happen to them? That should move us to action, to try to get the gospel over to them. Because we know the destruction, and we know that the wrath of God one day is going to come. If it don't come now, when they die in that state, we know they go into a place where they don't want to be, and it's hell. That's the attitude that we should have. And I just want to encourage us this morning as Christians. We got a gospel meeting coming up. I want to challenge each and every one of us, at least bring one person to the gospel meeting that's coming up in November. We can do that. The people that we're around, we can do that. Just invite one person that's on the outside of the body of Christ to come in and just hear the gospel. With the hope. And that's what this is. Although that we may lament and cry, there's still hope. And we can have hope for them. I want to tell you something else, brothers and sisters, as we close this lesson. I want to look at the book of Galatians, chapter 3. And that this attitude just wasn't with the Apostle Paul and with Moses. Well, our Lord and Savior had that same attitude. In this book of Galatians, chapter 3, we'll look at verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13 and 14. Let's read. This attitude with Jesus. Jesus said in verse 13, he said, I have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Book of Galatians chapter 3. In verse 13, Christ said, I have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brother Ray brought out in his lesson a couple of Lord's Day so beautifully how Christ was willing to separate himself from God for us. To be separated from God. The only time that he had ever been separated from his Father, and became a curse for you and I, that we might live. Brothers and sisters, that's a lot to be thankful for, that Christ is willing to do that. In this lesson, the crying out in hope is always there for us. And hopefully something was said from the scripture this morning that will be instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds, will just cause us just to think as we journey through life. The Bible teaches us that we come to God by hearing. Not just anything, but hearing God's word. The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must hear God's word and to see what God has to say about it. And after hearing that, we must believe it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we have to believe God's words once we hear it. And after we hear it, believe it, we must make the good confession. The good confession is, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the good confession. We have to I got a step wrong here. Should be repent. Next. Hear, believe, and repent. Luke 13 and 3, say, I'll tell you nay. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we hear, believe, and after we believe God's word, we are to change from it, is to repent. After we repent, we must make the good confession. That is the confession I just said, is the confession is Jesus Christ being the Son of God. All men must make that confession. After that, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism to have our sins washed away. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, it teaches us that for as many as been baptized into Christ have put on him. And this is where we put Christ on, is in the watery grave of baptism and not before. I know the world teaches that you can be saved without being baptized, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we have to have our sins washed away, and that's only done in the watery grave of baptism. And as we walk in the newness of life, when we stumble and we fall, we are to repent of that and act, make the good confession that we sin, that have shamed the body of Christ. We are to make a confession of that and ask for the prayers that we might be reinstated back into the fold. So if anyone this morning is subject to the gospel in any manner, while we stand and sing the chosen selection, we may make the good confession.